John chapter 5 this morning. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Anytime anybody went to Jerusalem, they went up.
Right.
Anytime anybody left Jerusalem, they went down. Anytime you get away from where God is, you're going down, down, down. There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That word impotent means they can't walk. They got all kinds of problems. I heard a man preach one time. He said impotent, like impotent folk. Ain't what that means. It means impotent. That means they got problems. Impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, and which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, three things, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews, the church people, said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
Yeah,
he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Well, they got problems with taking up his bed and walking, don't they? And he that was healed wist not it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus came back now, findeth him in the temple, and Jesus said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The Bible says that Jesus had just left in John chapter 4 with that woman that he had found at the well, the Samaritan woman. And so he goes into John chapter 5 and he heads up to Jerusalem. And the Bible says by this place called Bethesda, which there had ports there by the sheep market. You find the sheep market in the book of Nehemiah. That's where the sheep, the sacrifice, were brought in.
Yeah.
So he goes up to this sheep market here, and they've got five porches, or like five, if you've ever been to the beach before, it's got like five piers built out over this big body of water there. And on those five piers lay all this multitude of people there.
Yeah.
And the Bible says here there was some blind people there. They couldn't see, and they was laying there. There was some people, no doubt, that couldn't hear, and they was laying there. There was people laying there that couldn't walk, and they was there. This hodgepodge of people was laying right there on those porches, waiting for this time when an angel would come down and trouble the water, and one of them would have to roll over there and get in that water. Whatever was wrong with him, when he got in that water, the Bible says that he was made whole. So Jesus comes upon the scene with this mass of humanity laying there, Brother Tyler. Mass of humanity laying there, all messed up with all these different issues. I'm looking at the same mass of humanity this morning in this church, right here, right now. You, listen, may have come in here with whatever problem or whatever issue that you have, but I want you to look around to the left and to the right of you, to the front of you and behind you. There's people sitting, including yourself, that's got issues, that's got problems. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. Don't think because somebody is shouting that they're shouting and raising their hands because they're righteous. No, no, no. He's crying while he's singing that song, thinking about how glorious. glory of the Lord has been. Just how good God has been to him. This boy's praying because he's thinking about just how blessed and how good God has been unto him. I'm preaching and getting emotional right now because just how good God has been unto me. Because I was like this mass of people laying on these porches right here waiting for the moving of the water. You know what mankind's like? Mankind is like this. There was once a story of a rich man who had $100 million in the bank, and he took a little card and he walked up to a man on the street and he said, "Here you go, man. Here's your card on it. It's my bank account. I'm giving it to you. It's got $100 million on it. You can do whatever you want with it. Take care of yourself and help somebody else." The man took that card, threw it down the spit in the man's face and said, "I don't believe worth that," and walked off. He said, "Okay." He picked up the card. He went to somebody else and he gave it to them. He gave it to a lady. He said, "Here you go. Here's your card. It's got $100 million on it. Honey, take care of yourself. Be good to somebody else. But here's that card." So she said, "Thank you, sir." And she took it and stuck it in her purse. And she walked around there where she went. And she told people, "I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed." But she never did nothing with that card. But she walked around. She still lived the same way. But she had that card in her pocket. Said, "I'm so blessed." But she never used the card. And then listen, he walked up to another fella and said, "Here you go. That other lady ain't spending no money off that card. So here's a card." And she said, "Thank you." So she goes to the bank. Now he said, "You got $100 million on that card. Take it, spend it. Do whatever you want with it. Be a blessing to somebody else." So she goes up to the window at the bank and she says, "Hey, I want to withdraw $100. The lady said, "Okay. Are you sure that's all? Because you got $100 million in there." And she said, "Well, that's what they say. But just give me $100. She said, "I'll tell you what, just give me $5,000. So she continued to go through her life struggling. She continued to go through her life living below her means. Even though she had what somebody gave her. That's the multitude that I'm preaching here right now. God's got the answer of every problem that you have in your life. But either you'll throw it down and walk out, or you keep it around your pocket and tell people how blessed you are, but they don't see the withdrawal in your life. Because you're not putting to use what God gave to you in your life. Amen. Amen. So he comes across the scene and he sees this man there. And the Bible said he's an impotent man. He can't walk, Brother Greg. He's disabled. He can't do nothing. And that picture of you and I, he lays there and he walks. And he just lays there. Somebody's got to carry him there and throw him down. And he's so desperate, Jeff, that every time he just drags himself around all the time. He's in the right place, Tyler. He's at the sheep market. He's at a place called Bethesda, which means mercy. But he's miserable out of place of mercy. I'm preaching to some of y'all right now. You're so miserable, but you're in a place of mercy. You're so miserable, you're in a place of mercy. And this man lay there, Greg, 38 years. I've been preaching here for 10 years. And some of you are still miserable. Some of you are in a place of mercy. You're in a place of grace. You're in a place where you can get some help. But you're still disabled. You're still desperate. And you're still disappointed. Week in and week out. And we've got something here that can help you in your life. We've got something here that can radically change your life. If only you would get a hold of what's been preaching here. This man lay there, brother. He's sick. He can't do nothing for himself. He can't move. But the answer is about ready to walk right by him. He's laid there 38 years. Some of you, you've sat here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and it gets put out to you, and it gets put out to you. But you don't take in what you can get in your life and get mercy and not have to be so miserable in your life. Amen.
Amen.
You know what people do? They try everything in the world
but
to substitute for what God says they need to do.
That's right, brother.
They'll try drugs. That ain't working for you.
Nope.
You'll try hopping around in your relationship. That still ain't working for you.
Nope.
You'll try your liquor. That ain't working for you. You'll try all these things in your life. Trying to get you out of that miserable state that you're in. When all along, listen, of the answer is right before you. You know something that I think really puzzling, and I meditated on this scripture. The Bible said a multitude, Jamie, was laying there. How many is a multitude in the Bible? It's a lot of people with a lot of problems. Here's what I can't understand. Jesus is going by, and they're laying on these five porches, and five in the Bible is a number of grace. So they're laying out a place of grace, and they're laying by an old stale pool, just an old stale stagnant pool laying there, and the living water is going right by them, but he goes by unheeded, he goes by unnoticed, he goes by undisturbed, he goes by, listen to me, unheard. It's amazing to me, with the multitude of people and the multitude of problems, how the word of God's going by and you won't heed and you won't know, and you just let it go on by. But one in the midst of all that multitude, Jesus went where he was.
Amen.
Did you see that in the Bible? Now listen. I know, and I got to be careful when I say this, because you got to be careful. I know people get sick. And I know that people go in the hospital. And somebody say, such and such got saved down there at the Pablo Medical Center, and then 2 hours later they die. God can do anything he wants to do.
That's right. That's right.
Now let me tell you something. That's very rare.
That's very rare.
You're right. That's very rare. Now I believe a lot of times families say that because it gives them a little somewhat of a comfort at the funeral home. Well, daddy or mommy made it in or whoever. And I'm not being mean, but listen to me. You and I don't choose God. I would have never chose God. I had no idea, and you won't either. You don't want God.
That's right.
Left to yourself, listen to me now, I'm tired, this is the Bible. Left to yourself and left to myself, I'll be a total wreck. I'll run down roads in life I shouldn't run. I'll ruin my life. I'll destroy myself. Why? Because that's my very nature as a man born in sin. Listen, I don't choose God. But of all this multitude right here, the Bible said Jesus went to this one man. He chose him. And he knew that man, the Bible said. And he went to him. You say, Brother Kevin, why did he go to him? Because he chose to go to him. Why did God say, me? Because he wanted to save you. Why did God love me? Because he wanted to love you. It ain't nothing in you that's lovable. Ain't nothing in me that's lovable. I love him, you know why? Because he first loved me. I didn't choose him. Brother, he came by and he chose me. Amen.
Amen.
And if you get saved,
that's what happens.
He'll choose you.
That's right.
I'm not telling graveyard stories and coaching you down now to shake my hand, because it don't work.
No.
Amen. But sure enough, when God chooses you, there'll be a difference made in your life.
Amen. Good
change. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said he come by and he chose him. And you know what I like about this, Tyler? He chose him and he cared for him.
Oh, yeah.
He cared for him right there.
Yeah.
And he walked up to that man and he came to where he was at. And brother, he asked him a question. Here's what he asked him. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, if I was there, and it was me that had laid there 38 years and couldn't walk, I wouldn't have said it to Jesus, but I'd said it to myself. I said, I can't believe he's asked me yet. I mean, ain't it obvious what's wrong with me? I need to walk. I got problems. I need to walk. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How long do you want to just keep on living in the shape that you're living in? How long do you want to keep being miserable?
Amen.
That's what the Lord's asking you right now. How long do you want to keep being miserable? How long do you want to keep laying there? How long do you want to keep being miserable? How long do you want to keep being unusable? How long do you want to keep being just a hindrance? I mean, he was a hindrance. Other people, Gary, had to get up, son, and get this boy and drag him out there. And you know, listen, after the first week, they said, we're going to help him. We feel sorry for him. But you know, after 38 years, they said, my God, we still got to drag him out there. How long are you going to keep being a hindrance? How long are you going to keep being miserable? How long are you going to keep being mad? How long are you going to keep being the shape that you're in? That's what the Lord's asking this man. Wilt thou be made whole? Hey, listen, how long are you going to keep being a victim and not having victory? Well, I can't do nothing and everything. I'm just too poor. My husband left me. My wife left me. It's so hard. Or I have this happen and that happen to me. Hey, the Lord's not going to deal with that mess. He won't know how long are you going to quit being a victim and start having some victory in your life. Amen. He ain't going to sit there and hear, well, wilt thou be made whole? How long, dear people, listen to me. How long are you going to keep being miserable in your life? How long are you going to keep laying in the bed at night, miserable because of your situation that you're in? How long? This man lay there 38 years miserable. And Jesus has said, wilt thou be made whole? Now, I would have said to myself, I can't believe he's asking me that. But Jesus didn't ask him for an explanation, did he? Jesus asked him a simple yes or no question. Do you want to be made whole? Do you still like being miserable, honey? Do you still like being miserable, dear sir? Do you still like your life that the shape you? You know what this man said? Listen, this man, you would have thought, Jamie, that he would have said, Lord, I want to get up and walk, help me. He didn't say that, Jeff. You know what he said? He said, I ain't got nobody to help me. Ain't nobody helps me. I'm down in this poor condition that I'm in. I'm feeling so sorry for myself. My life is just so hard. It's so hard being a Christian. In 2023, I'm so fat I can't bail my head and pray. We've got $500,000 in cars out in the parking lot. We've got blessing upon blessing. People are coming across our border to be homeless. Yet we sit here feeling sorry for ourselves in poor old East Kentucky. And God is saying, how long are you going to lay in your misery? How long are you going to feel sorry for yourself and do this to yourself? Wilt thou be made whole?
Amen. Good preaching. Good word.
I ain't got nobody to help me. You know, Jesus didn't even address that situation. You know why some of you won't do what you need to do in your life? Because it's easier for you to blame somebody else.
Amen.
It's easier for you to say, well, you know, this happened to me. Well, brother, I just had a bad break here. Well, I just can't get ahead right here. Well, this happened to me and that happened to me. That's why I'm just going to remain in the shape that I'm in. And the Lord said, wilt thou be made whole? Quit blaming your husband now. Quit blaming your in-laws. Quit blaming your own self. Quit blaming mistakes that you made in the past. How long are you going to be miserable? How long are you going to sit here all messed up? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus is standing before this man who had laid miserable 38 years. And he's saying, do you want some help in your life? Do you? Some of you, for 10 years I've preached, and you still see it. No movement. Some of you, in and out. Some of you don't like this. You want to go somewhere where you feel all nostalgic and sentimental, and no challenge to the Scripture, no movement on the Word of God. You just want to sit there and listen to me. I want to be challenged through God's Word. I want help, don't you? I don't want you to be miserable. What's wrong with their community right now? What's wrong with their families right now? Because Jesus is standing before us today, and he's saying, wilt thou be made whole?
Amen.
And you know what they say? He says, I got no man, Lord. And then he says this, Cameron, he says, well, when I do go, somebody cuts me off. I mean, I've been going to church, and I've been going trying, but that one fella just sits there and just gets on my nerves, and my husband gets on my nerves, and them people just look at me, and that's that and the other, I just ain't going to go. Well, you're just going to remain miserable in your life, honey. You're just going to remain miserable in your condition. Jesus ain't addressing that. Jesus is ignoring that. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? He ain't asking you about nobody else. He ain't asking you about your trifling husband or your trifling wife or something else. He's asking you today. You're miserable. You're confused. You're laying in a dead shape. And the Lord's asking you today, wilt thou be made whole?
Amen. Amen. Good word, preacher.
Then Cameron, he says something here. He don't say nothing about his issues. He said unto him, rise. Jesus don't even address what his little excuses are. He says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I ain't worried about other people. I want you to rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, this is interesting. The Bible says immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked.
Yeah.
And on the same day was the Sabbath. See, Jesus is kind of picking a fight with the church people. Because these Jews had 10 commandments, but they made some more. They had 613 laws on top of the 10 commandments. And law 39 says you ain't supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day, believe it or not. That's what it says. So Jesus says, rise. It was on Sabbath day. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, I looked up the word walk. It's an interesting word. You know what the word walk means right there? It means not only do you get up and just, what you're not thinking of walking, but it means that you're taking on some sort of opportunity. You're going through some kind of path in your life. In other words, it's some kind of direction. In other words, it's taking what opportunity that you've been given and walk with it or go with it. It's like if you're giving a college scholarship. They say, here's your scholarship now. But now we ain't going to do the work for you. And we're not going to attend class for you. But here's your scholarship that's going to help you. But honey, you got to walk and get on the path to take advantage of what we give you. Amen? That's what Jesus done right here. Jesus done something for him that he couldn't do for himself. Now Jesus is directing him. What I've done for you now, put some feet on it and get going. A lot of people say, I've got faith and I love the Lord and everything. But you know something? Faith's got to go further than the head. God's looking for some faith to hit the feet,
amen.
Are you listening to me? God's looking for some of your faith to hit your feet.
Yeah, buddy.
Because the church is on Monday morning. The church is on Tuesday morning. The church is on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We come in here worshiping the Lord today, getting some direction from God's Word and a word from God. But listen to me. What you do out there on your walk, your faith got to hit your feet. You got to get out and take it out there to your family. You got to get out there and take it to your friends. You got to get out there and take it that people see you and they get a step back and say, hey, for 38 years she's miserable. For 38 years you lay down there. It got their attention. It caused a stir because this man took me in the shape that he's in. But his faith hit his feet. He was no longer a victim, but he had victory. And the victory is in Jesus.
Amen.
That song, Love Lifted Me.
Yeah.
Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. That's what happened to this man right here. The Bible says he goes walking. Chester, caused his faith hit his feet. And it got everybody's attention. You know what gets your attention? When somebody truly gets converted.
That's right. Amen.
And they go out of here and they're so different. They're so radically changed. I'm not somebody that didn't. Listen, they're laying there by a pool. A pool ain't moving water. A pool just sits there.
That's right.
It's just stagnant water. But living water was right before.
Oh, yeah.
Some of y'all just lay by a pool of religion and you look at that religion. And that ain't going to help you none.
Nope.
Some of you just lay by a pool of a sign on the door. Or some kind of sentimental. That ain't going to help you none. You need the dose of the living water,
amen,
brother. To get inside of you.
Thank
and change you. You know what this man done? All he done was respond to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's it.
And he couldn't even done that if not God went to him and gave him an opportunity
right
to respond. You know what God's done to you this morning? God's drawed you here this morning. And God's presented to you the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's stirred some of you. The water's been troubled within you. And you've been stirred and God's given you an opportunity somewhere to respond to that Word. And you're going to walk out of here and you say, I'm just going to stay miserable. I'm going to do some of what I've been preached to today. This man went around with his bed. Now that's kind of odd. I mean, don't you think it's odd? He lay on this mat 38 years. Don't you think it was nasty?
Oh yeah.
Sweaty? It's nasty. But Jesus said, now take up your bed. I want you to take your bed with you.
And so he goes down there with his bed, and everybody sees him in his bed coming. They're like, what's this guy doing with his bed? Nasty old bed. But he used that bed to reach other people.
That's right.
You know, some of you in here, listen to me. God really do something in your life. Your changed life, whatever bed, mat that you're wandering around on, laying on, flopping around on, God could use that to help somebody else.
That's right.
And then while he's carrying that bed, it also reminds him where he used to be in his life.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Listen to me. Don't never get away from what you used to be.
That's right.
Amen. Why are these people shouting in here with their hands raised? Because they remember where they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
They used to be a drunk. They used to be in jail. They used to be on pills. They used to have no desire for this. But now they got something in them. Now they're a changed creature. Now they're possessed with the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. What they once was is passed away. And now they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But they're turning around that bed thanking God. I ain't all I should be. But I know one thing. I ain't what I used to be. And God will do that in your life. Amen. And that bed reminds you of what you used to be. That bed reveals your testimony. That bed allows you to reach out to somebody. That bed shows you the power of God. But it could have never happened until the faith hit the feet. Now you're going to listen. Here's what we do. We sing a song. And people that wants to can pray and pray at your seat. But listen to me. How long are you going to be around miserable? I'm going to ask you, how long you just want to be miserable? I don't like being miserable, do you?
I don't
like being. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to leave out of here miserable. Well, other people, listen to me. He didn't ask you about other people. How long are you going to be this way? How long are you going to keep being the victim?
Amen.
You ever just meet somebody that's a victim all the time? No, listen to me. That ain't a good Christian witness.
No, it ain't.
We got victory, Brother Randall, page 120 in the songbook, in Jesus.
Amen.
And by the way, that was wrote by Ian Bartley on a sick bed looking out a window. He couldn't walk.
Amen.
He said, I got victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. Yes, all my love is to Him. He led me to victory. Amen. When are you going to quit being a victim and start getting victory? And when are you going to start letting all that faith you talk about hit your feet?
Amen.
That's what the Lord's looking for.
Yep.
Or you just going to walk around with that card in your purse? Oh, I'm blessed, but you sure ain't living like it. Amen?
Amen.
Lock around, go around talking like you rich, but you ain't using that card old man gave you in your pocket. The Lord's come by and speak to you today.
Amen.
Trying to help you. That's why it's so quiet in here and tense right now. Because God's speaking to some of y'all in here today. He's confronting you.